We're still at the end now, almost, at the consequences of the healing of that crippled man that we've been reading about now for over a week. It's the way that St. Luke is trying to show us how disturbing Jesus can be. You know, we're all, oh, he healed, you know, this man got healed, that's fine now. What else is new, you see? The man who was lame was there in the sight of everybody day after day after day. And Jesus came along, Peter came along and said, look, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And that changed the whole city. Because God acted. So now, they just won't give in, will they? You see? You fill Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood, that's Jesus' blood, upon us. It's exactly what we want to do, is have the blood of Jesus purify you and make you ready for eternal life. It's exactly what we want to do. The guilt, God forgives you. You were wrong, you murdered a man, but if you turn to God and ask forgiveness, it's yours. Want an example? Our brother Paul. He was going around arresting people, putting them in jail. The Lord spoke to him, and he changed totally. And so, the God of our ancestors is the one who raised Jesus. Though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant repentance and forgiveness of sins. Isn't that exciting? You know, we have our sins forgiven. Why? Because Jesus Christ took them all on himself and in an act of love gathered the whole human race and brought it back to the Father. Anybody who wants it, just believe in him and obey him. And so, we're also running now very just about the end of chapter 3, which we've been on a long time now. It started out the healing of that lame man at the pool there of Bethesda. And it was Shabbat. Our Lord knew it was Shabbat. He didn't, oh, I forgot. No. He did it on purpose. I want to witness to the fact that I am the Lord of Shabbat. You remember when he finally said that, right? The Son of Man is the Lord of Shabbat. What does that mean? Who instituted Shabbat? God. You know, we measure the day, the month, the year, by the sun, the moon, and all that. But the week, Shabbat, is measured by the word of God. There's no intrinsic cosmic reason why there's 7 days and not 8 or 10. Remember the French Revolution, they tried to get rid of the seven and had everything mathematical, the metric system, and every 10th day off. Well, like most people, we're not too heavy into religion, but the idea that we're going to lose out on these days off, that they noticed, and so they didn't go along with it. But here we have, you see, the end of that confrontation in chapter 3. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. Do you see how the Holy Spirit wants to change the way we look at things? And so, but the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, which is such a gentle way to put it. I am the Son of God. I am eternal. I have been in an embrace of love of the Father from all eternity. I can tell you what goes on in heaven because I'm the reason there is a heaven. And they don't get it. You see? whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. If God says, this is my son, he has died for your sins, I have raised him from the dead, believe in him and be baptized, and you are on the way to an eternal life. And so you testify that God is trustworthy. That's really true. You see? For the one whom God sent speaks the word of God. This Jesus. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. What does that mean? Do you have all of the Holy Spirit that you want? All that you need? All that you... Don't we every day ask for the Holy Spirit? Why does he say that? He does not ration. He means it's all yours. Just ask for it. Would you get it right away? Probably not. Why? Because you have to hunger and thirst for it and give up sin. And that's why you know. I often think if you're holding an ice cream cone like this, you see, and a little kid comes along and you just, you know, you take it and run, right? But if you hold it, he has to look up at you. And then you give him the ice cream cone. Well, the Lord is like that. You have to look at him. Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. I want the gift of healing or whatever. And then you run off. No. That's why he says this, you see. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Today, when you're doing your prayer time, just take that line and think about it. The Father loves the Son from all eternity, and has turned everything over to him. Jesus, the incarnate Son, you see. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. So belief is a yielding. Yielding to the truth in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do that. You see, but yielding to the truth. See, these other guys, they will not yield to the truth. They're going to stick to what they like because that's their livelihood, but it's also their position. They're big shots. Paul was also a big shot. And the Lord really went after him, didn't he? But he took it. And he got up, went into Damascus, you know, was cured of his blindness, he was baptized, and he started telling everybody about Jesus. So, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life.